Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the Washington Post, he's covering the Western Conference Finals. Read him all the time. National NBA writer Ben Gulliver is with us this afternoon. What's up, Ben?
Not too much, guys. I'm with you. Not only was it over early, but haven't we seen that show before? I mean, it's kind of a repeat, right, of the old Golden State Warriors days where they're blowing people out in the third quarter and kind of sending people home for an early exit.
Oh, man. I'm sure Cleveland fans were thrilled with reminiscing about that, right?
Well, that was actually a thought that went through my mind. You know, Luka was struggling a little bit with that full court pressure and trying to figure out Golden State's defense, and there's been lots of comparisons whether, hey, is he the next James Harden, the next LeBron James? Golden State used to throw so much at LeBron, and basically every single night he would get you 35, 40 points. And I think if you're the Mavericks, I mean, it's a high standard to ask of Luka, but that's pretty much what you need. Like, you need him out there putting up 35 or 40, otherwise you're not going to stand a chance. I think their formula is Luka's got to be the best player in the world, their shooters have to show up, and then they have to do a much better and more disciplined job on defense against Golden State. Otherwise, I think that Golden State's in control of this series. You know, with a great game one, and they're a much more formidable test, I think, than Phoenix was the last round.
Ben, one thing that I caught there early in the game, and I didn't, again, I mentioned I went to bed like when it was a 27-point game, was Luka was kind of bothered by that shoulder a little bit early on. Was there anything more to that after the game, or was that a problem for him in the game?
Yeah. He said he was okay, but it was interesting because he only had like 2 points in the second half, right? So he does make you wonder a little bit. He also got a really gnarly scratch across his face. So he looked a little bit like a boxer coming into his post-game press conference, but he didn't want to make any injury excuses. Basically their party line was, we had open three-pointers, we missed open three-pointers, and Dallas has been leading the NBA in the playoffs in three-point attempts, and so some nights you hit those, and you look unbeatable and you send the Suns home in kind of embarrassing fashion. Other nights you can't hit a shot and you're down early, but he was making it sound like he's fine going forward, and he was actually in a decent mood after the game despite the loss.
Ben Gulliver with us from the Washington Post. You actually posted a pretty good picture of that. That was a nice – was that your photography from last night on Twitter?
It was, but you're making me think I need to license it now or something. I can maybe get paid off of it instead of giving it away for free on Twitter. They let us up pretty close now. It's nice. After a couple of years of, pandemic access and all these kinds of questions, it's starting to feel normal, and you're seeing it with the crowds just going absolutely nuts in these playoff buildings. There's been great atmospheres throughout the playoffs, and we're not back in the locker rooms yet, knock on wood, but it is nice to be able to get kind of up close and personal with these guys.
Steph went off. He didn't have the greatest night in terms of total points, but he went off in that stretch to kind of put the game away. I mean, is the bottom line is that this is almost like a Steph versus Luka thing, and Steph won the first one, but is it one on one is almost like if Steph has a better series, they're going to win. If Luka has a better series, Mavs are going to win.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more who can shoot the three ball better and maybe who's a little bit more engaged. I do think Steph has a lot more help than Luka does in terms of secondary scores. I mean, Klay Thompson's been there, done that a million times. Jordan Poole's had a really strong postseason, and I thought one of the X factors was actually Andrew Wiggins. I mean, he's chasing Luka all around the court on defense, applying this full court pressure. And on the other end, he was finding ways to knock down three-pointers, get into the paint, and punish mismatches and get some duck in and turnarounds and all sorts of stuff that you don't typically see from Wiggins. So I think it was seven guys for Golden State in double figures last night. It was a really balanced effort. And they blew it open early in that third quarter, like you said, with Steph hitting kind of two three-pointers pretty quickly, you know, taking advantage of some Luka turnovers and really putting that game on ice. But, you know, to me, you know, I think that Luka is going to have to carry a heavier scoring burden than Steph, just like LeBron used to in all those series. I mean, he was always putting up the biggest numbers, right? And Steph tended to have a little bit more complimentary help. I think it's a similar dynamic here. When you're circling X factors for Dallas, I mean, Dorian Finney-Smith, he has to play better. He's a really talented guy. He's actually a player I think, you know, would make some sense as, you know, maybe on USA Basketball's like World Cup roster or even their Olympic roster as just kind of a do-everything grinder, you know, defensive type player, you know, guard the opposing country's best player. I'd love to see him in that role. But he had a really tough game one. He has to shoot the basketball better. And they also need to figure out how to get Jalen Brunson going. Golden State, I think, threw Dallas for a loop a little bit, had Draymond guarding Jalen Brunson a little bit early, and obviously he's much bigger than Brunson. I think Brunson was kind of struggling to get his shots in the paint and trying to get comfortable. So we're going to have to see some adjustments there because they really need a number two scorer you know, to find their success. It can't just be Luka all the time.
Ben, after watching that game last night, I kind of feel like this is just a really bad matchup for the Mavericks. You know, the way they play their offense with so much isolation, so many three-pointers, and then the Warriors, they want to go fast, right? They want to play up-tempo, fast break. Obviously, they can hit their threes, but they were, like, really content last night with taking the twos, and every time, you know, the Mavs would miss a three, they'd come in transition, they'd take a two, and it was just like, I don't know how the Mavericks can stay in this series if they're down by double digits at any point in the game because they play so slow.
Oh, man, well, I'll tell you what, if you look at the box score completely agrees with you. Like, pick any category, like rebounds, transition points, field goal percentage, shooting, you know, scoring, assists. I mean, basically every single category, Golden State dominated game one. But I would caution you, don't write off Dallas just yet. They're a really high variance team. It's a unique structure for them because they take so many three-pointers and they do rely so heavily on Luka that when they're not on, they can look really, really bad, right? But on their best night, I mean, they have a really, really high ceiling because Luka can score 40, 45 points fairly easily. He gets the free throw line a lot. He's a very efficient shooter. And their three-point shooters can get going. I mean, we saw it during the Phoenix series. They just blitzed the Phoenix Suns right off the court. And that was a Phoenix team that had a really good defense coming into the postseason and had a lot of playoff experience themselves. So, you know, I think you just have to kind of understand that, like, don't judge Dallas on their worst day, which was sort of game one. I mean, that's probably the worst game they've played in this entire playoffs. And wait for their three-point shooters to wake up a little bit. It's going to look a little bit more balanced. But your point on the pace of play is an excellent one. Golden State does want to get up and down. Golden State wants to protect the basketball, not turn it over, and then capitalize on your turnovers. If Golden State gets sloppy, and we saw some of that against Memphis in the second round, that's really what's going to open the door for Dallas. But I do think that the Mavericks are going to try to slow this series down even more than they already did, try to milk things like the Cavaliers used to do with LeBron when they would put him in the post and play that really deliberate style because they don't want to get into this, you know, fun and gun shootout with Golden State. They're just going to be outmatched.
East Finals resumes tonight in Miami, game two. Al Horford's going to be back for Boston. Do you think the Celtics win tonight, or did Miami make a kind of a statement with their defense in the opener?
What was a weird game one where I actually left kind of impressed by both teams, even though Miami won fairly comfortably. I mean, what a bunch of curveballs for Boston to have to deal with, right? They have this incredible, satisfying game seven victory at home. I was there. It was just an amazing atmosphere at the TD Garden. They're feeling like they conquered, you know, Giannis, and they got over the hump there. And they have this really quick turnaround. All of a sudden, Marcus Smart is out with a foot injury. Al Horford has this COVID issue. And, you know, they're still dealing with injury issues for Robert Williams as well. So they go from being a really deep team. All of a sudden, like overnight, they're trying to figure out how do we fill minutes? How do we really do what we want to do on defense? And even so, they came out great in game one, had a pretty big lead, and then it just all fell apart for them in the second half. Give credit to Jimmy Butler. He's done a nice job of pulling the Heat through here in the playoffs. You know, Kyle Lowry's been out for them. Typically, you would think, well, that's going to make their offense kind of gunk up. It's not going to be as pretty. It's not going to be, you know, as smooth. And yet Jimmy kind of always finds a way to get the buckets in the key moments, you know, going right at Jason Tatum late in that game to put it away. It was an impressive superstar-like performance from a guy who really doesn't get talked about, you know, in those kinds of conversations very often. I picked Boston to win this series. I think that they can win this series still, even if they drop game two. But it will be a lot easier for them if they can even the series here and go home with some confidence. Horford's a huge deal for their defense. He was absolutely excellent in the second round against Giannis in Milwaukee in terms of just providing that very steady leadership, on the back line. And for you guys in Cleveland, I don't hear this comparison a lot because Evan Mobley is so much more, I think, just athletic and quicker, obviously, at this stage of his career than a guy like Horford. But I do see some of the basketball intelligence and the positioning and the footwork in a player like Evan Mobley that I also have seen in Al Horford as well. And I think that's a really high compliment. I mean, those are the kinds of guys that you need to have to win in the playoffs. And I think, if he continues on that track, he's going to be pretty special.
I'll be honest, Ben. I think the league needs Boston to win tonight. There's a chance this could be 2-0 Heat and 2-0 Warriors, which is fine. I mean, and I know these series are seven games and series doesn't start till someone wins on the road, but I think it would be very, very intriguing, certainly, if it was 1-1 in this series, almost needed a little bit.
Well, I hear what you're saying. One thing I'd point out is just the value of home court advantage in this year's playoffs has been really strong. I think a lot of it has to do with every single building is full, and they, have lifted a lot of the restrictions that were on fan bases during last year's playoffs. I mean, just traveling around to different arenas, whether it's been Memphis, Milwaukee, Boston, Golden State, I mean, the crowds are out in full force, and they're impacting these games. I mean, when you see Golden State go to Memphis, and they're losing by like 50 points, you basically never see that from the Golden State Warriors, right? And a big part of the reason why was, all those fans going crazy, singing the rap songs at Steph Curry, and really creating a tough environment for the road team. And so that's why I would say don't panic if they do go 2-0, because, once Dallas gets back home, they played so much better at home in the second round than they did on the road against Phoenix. We saw something similar with Miami. I mean, they went up early in their series against Philly 2-0, and then Philly was able to kind of hold serve when they got home as well. So, I think that's just kind of the natural rhythms of these series kind of going back and forth. By nature, I try not to overreact too much, but I do think, if there's more intrigue, for sure, if it's 1-1, it's a little bit less predictable. We saw that with the Boston-Milwaukee series where the road team kept winning and kind of, defying convention. And that's probably the most fun series we've had so far in these playoffs.
Ben Golliver with us from the Washington Post talking NBA. Ben, do want to ask you about the Cavaliers. What do you think needs to happen for the Cavs to be right there in the East, to be one of these teams in the playoffs vying to get back to the NBA Finals? And also, where do you see Colin Sexton? What's his role with this team? Or is he even a Cavalier going forward?
Well, I think for me personally, if I was in charge, I would be, doing exactly what, fell into their lap this year, which is give the car keys to Darius Garland and get out of the way. I was always a fan of that. I understand Colin Sexton has a role in this league as a scorer, but I don't really see him as a lead guard or as a, starting caliber point guard. He's just not my type of player. He's very scoring minded. He's skilled in that avenue, but I like guys who can mix up, the outside shooting, the offensive orchestration, and then also just the passing ability. And that's where a guy like Garland just checks all those boxes. I think the interesting decision they have in the draft here is, do you need another young guy? I mean, they've got a lot of young players. And what you saw with some of the injuries, last year, whether it was like Rubio going down or when Jared Allen missed some time, they really missed those veteran presence, those guys who had the experience, just the night in, night out pros. And that's where their season got a little bit wobblier down the stretch. And so you wonder, do you want to throw another teenager into this mix? Is that guy even really going to have a lot of opportunity for playing time early on, when they go into this draft lottery? And to me, that's kind of the first question they have to solve. If I were them, I think I would be interested in exploring, what could I get for Colin Sexton? What are the opportunities on the table? But I also understand that, when you have a player like that, usually what happens is, you pay him and you figure it out later. You give him another shot and see if he's able to kind of contribute next season as they do try to take the next step. But I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I think that Colin Sexton is almost coming back to a completely different team than he left. You know what I
mean? Right.
Everybody,
yeah.
All those guys grew up together, whether it was Mobley, Allen, Garland. They really hit a nice stride last season. They're going to come into next year with expectations of making the playoffs. And I just think that either Sexton's role is going to have to change or you're going to have to consider trading him.
Ben, we appreciate the time. Safe travels as you navigate through the Western Finals. But thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.